Hi guys, this is Jasia Rose with w.a.s.weallsurvive. And today I have my surviving friend, Priscilla.
Hi guys, hi everyone.
And today we're both gonna discuss about child abuse. Unfortunately today, I'm not using my laptop, so we're gonna be alternating on my phone today. Little difficulties, technical ones. So today's topic on is child abuse once again, and everyone's story is different. And, you know, hers, mine, anyone else that has went through a child abuse or just abuse in general. And even if it's on the same topic, like domestic abuse or anything, everyone's story is different. We don't take away anyone's story, and we're here to just share ours and make you understand that there's different things that come from it, whether if it's negative, positive, but it's our stories to share. And hopefully you can learn something through it and also maybe just be entertained. So moving forward, I'm going to start with the first question is, how old were you when this first encounter happened?
I was about 8 years old. I'm pretty sure it was like in the third grade when that happened.
Okay. Was it just one person in your life or?
It was just one person and it was a woman.
Okay. I had this encounter. So it's really, I feel like when it comes to abuse, it's really hard to say for me because abuse can come in so many forms. It's like neglect can be, you know, abuse, right? So technically I would say that I wasn't abused until five when I was molested by my biological mother's boyfriend. But at the same time, I don't know, because she was leaving me in cars and she wasn't feeding me and I ended up in the hospital, you know, from being dehydrated and so on. And so it's like, that could be abuse too. I mean, but I really say my first time was with a sexual encounter, you know, so I want to say 5 years old is when I started, and then it just carried on through even in foster care, so which they were abusive as well, so 6, 7, and it kind of just went throughout my life stages. So yeah, it just abuse just kind of varies per person of what happens. So that will happens, you know. But you know, it's all how you come to the top from it. Either way, I would like to ask you, what was your encounter like? If you like, you know, to share what you are comfortable with.
To be honest with you, I really don't remember the first specific encounter or how it happened or, you know, what I was doing. It ended up happening like so many times that it kind of just became a blur. And I think I really disconnected myself from certain details about it.
Okay. So you could, I don't know what that's called, but it's like a PTSD form in a sense where you can be triggered, but you can't really call why, but you can at the same time. For me, I remember details, like and you know what's, it's so crazy is that I don't feel mad about it. Besides my recent situation, my most recent, I think that had me more angry because I allowed it in my life. But these people, I did not allow them in life. It just happened to me because I had no control over my life. You know, as a child, we don't get to choose who we're surrounded by for the most part, whether it's our teachers, our parents, you know, even children because they're our classmates or so on. So I felt like I felt more sad for them. Like there's something wrong with them for doing what they did. And, you know, I felt more sympathy than anger, which is not a typical emotion people usually feel in that situation. I don't know why, but I was scared in the moment because he would threaten me with him, at least the one that our biological mother's boyfriend would threaten me and say, if I told anyone, you know, like a typical lifetime story where, you know, threatened my life if anyone was to find out. But then I did, and I wasn't really too afraid. And the next, you know, my biological mother made me apologize to him and like sat me down, like, don't lie. That was very wrong of you. And I was just like, I wasn't lying. And you know that because you know what's going on. She would like, she knew. And it confirmed the day where she put me, one day I was like scared of a thunderstorm and she put me into the bed right next to him instead of her. Like it was me, her, him, then her. Why wow. am I towards him? After what I just told you, called me a liar. Let's say I was a liar. Let's say I lied. But why would you take that chance putting me next to him instead of you?
Yeah.
So, but either way. So until my babysitter found out with me playing dolls, showing my, you know, friend with the dolls what's happening. And I thought at that point it was normal. She's doing it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a child. Like, this must be fine. Like, I'm here going crazy for nothing. And then all of a sudden I hear my babysitter screaming at my biology. I mean, like angry, like very angry. Police came. My biology mother started crying. I didn't know, baby. I'm so sorry. Like whatever, whatever, straight tears. And I was like, oh my God, I literally started clapping. And I was just like, they're like, why are you clapping? I'm like, this bitch is an actor. And wow. I was a little girl.
Wow. Oh my God.
I was so mad, but I was just like, I didn't call her a bitch or anything, but in my head, I was just like evil, like, you know, like mm-hmm. you knew. And if it was bad, why did you allow it? You know, cause you made it seem like it was, I'm here exaggerating or whatever. And as a little child, that's when I first knew my biological mother actually did not love me that much. That's my, like the first time I ever realized, because all the other times, even with like not feeding or just, I just thought she was just like, forgetful or kind of stupid. I just like, you know, here I am. And then my mommy yeah. loves me, but technically she just didn't. But then moving forward was like, I get out of that situation, ended up in foster care just to be abused too. To be my first day being drowned into the tub because I didn't want to be naked. I was scared to take my clothes off in front of them. Bad. My curly hair was yanked every morning until it was straight. With a hairbrush and bashing my head onto the like the wall, and oh. after yeah, and then I have this scar on my eye, my back, and that's left from oatmeal thrown over the stove from on my face when I didn't want to eat the oatmeal. It were kicked down the stairs every morning too. It's 15 flight of stairs, and it was like this. Moving forward, I experienced stuff like this growing up. Like it was just rough until I got bigger, until I could defend myself, you know? And you're like, what did, like, if someone cursed me, I grew up thinking I was cursed, still do, but I'm like, why is it this rough for me? Like, what did I do to these people? I just want to love you and you just hate me for whatever reason you have, you know? So there was that. And the reason I want to say for the most part is why I do the podcast is because of the abuse part, just knowing how crazy that can be and how I don't feel as sad. I never cried about it the next day. Once the pain was over, I felt nothing like, and then it's like, oh, you're just depressing it. You're putting it inside. I felt nothing like that. That's weird. Huh?
I never remember crying either.
It's weird. I feel like I'm more sensitive as an adult than I am now, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how? But as a child, you would think, I don't know, because maybe we're more observing and then, you know, reflecting.
I definitely think that's what it is, for sure.
Yeah, so I don't know, but as I'm learning psychology to understand this, mm-hmm. But... So when you went through your encounter and from whatever you do remember, did you tell anyone?
I didn't tell anyone. No. I don't know why. I don't know. I think it was something like how you said, like you kind of felt like it was normal. Mm-hmm. I kind of felt the same way. I was like, maybe this is just kind of how it is. And I didn't really kind of put two and two together and, you know, say, yeah, this is wrong, even though right. crazy. Cause like, you know, I'm going to like a Christian church and I'm learning all, you know, we learn certain things and I should know that it was wrong. But you know, when you're a kid, you don't you're learning yourself. You're going through the motions and you can't really kind of distinguish what is right or wrong until after or later on in your life, you know?
Right.
I think part of me also, this is crazy. I think part of me just kind of felt like it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't feel like it was wrong either.
Mm-hmm. Some people I've heard, in a sense, get pleasure even as a child, because there is what they call horny children, and they get pleasure out of, let's say, sexual, you know, assault as a child. But even so, it's still wrong. You know, they're a child; they shouldn't be experiencing that. And something's mentally wrong with that older adult. You know, whether it's, you know, abuse in sexual form or physical form, like that's, you know, hurtful, hitting, punching, whatever, choking, whatever the case may be. It's crazy that how adults can feel that way, and they take their anger out on them, you know. And if you don't care about, like, just don't be around that person. Don't be around children. Don't be, you know what I mean? Like, it's okay to not like something, just, you know, walk away. That's it. Like, you know, and I don't know. It's, I get that you didn't tell anyone, but when you were a child, did you ever ended up telling any family members growing up after once you realized it was wrong?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I definitely told my mom.
Okay.
I think she was just kind of like in shock. She didn't really take it.
Was she like upset about it? Like, as in, like, you didn't tell her sooner, or like, you know, does she see this person ever or no?
No, but she did kind of have a feeling like I knew something was up and I should have just kind of followed my gut about it. So I think mm-hmm. she feels a little bit of guilt.
Right. And I can definitely understand that, you know, because sometimes we, as, you know, any person, we have a, like that weird feeling of something, but we don't want to seem crazy and then be the bad guy. And then everyone's like, what's wrong with this person? And then be wrong. Yeah. At the same time, when it's your child, you should always take caution, period. Because, you know, but, you know, she did what she thought was best. And unfortunately, you know, it, what happened is what happened, and it's no one's fault but the person that did it. Mm-hmm. Anyways, moving forward, how has that, like, situation affected you today? Like, do you feel like it has affected you or affected you even in your past at all?
Definitely. I would say in terms of, like, relationships and in terms of my sexuality, you know, I'm not really sure, like, to this day, I'm not really sure if I have any attraction towards women and men.
Mm-hmm.
It's something I still feel like I'm kind of trying to figure out. But it definitely has affected me. It's been hard for me to kind of keep a stable relationship, or if I do, I give too much too fast. And I definitely think that's something it stemmed from. Mm-hmm. It's funny because for a long time I would kind of be like, why do I like love so hard? You know?
Well, that doesn't, I think that's a good thing. You know, not many people, if anything, that's a pro. And a good, like, in this world, in this society, it could seem like a negative thing because people abuse it, but that's not a you problem, that's a other people problem. You know, I don't ever want you to ever feel like you loving someone is a negative thing too much, you know what I mean? Unless it's like where it's an obsession is different than loving. You know, people mm-hmm. may could be like, no, I just love you so much, and they're really like truly obsessed, like, you know, where they couldn't let you go. Like, I've been through that situation, and that's not love, that's an obsession. It gets scary. When love is something kind and gentle, and you only like could never see them in harm's way, you know. So yeah, that's, I feel like it's a good thing. I feel like something negative would be pushing people away, or, you know, getting turned off easily if they just touched you or just kissed you a certain way that triggered your mind in something similar, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have had those moments as well. You know, where I felt like someone was a little bit too aggressive and kind of like just shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And like disconnect.
No, and as any normal person should, in a sense, when it comes to seeing someone aggressive, it's a turn off from hopefully most people. You know, it's sad to say when they say like daddy issues, unless you have like daddy issues who needs that aggressive male protective figure in a sense, which all women kind of like that protective side, I would think. Maybe not all, but a lot. And but at the same time, our interests, we have preferences. I feel like I get turned off easy too from aggression, and because it triggers from some of the certain things I went through. But even if I didn't, and I feel like anyone that hasn't went through that kind of stuff, it'd be like, wait, what just happened? Like, why are you so aggressive? Like, even with someone that didn't encounter abuse, they're like, ooh, red flag, you know, like, I don't want that.
Yeah.
But honestly, the kissing thing, I remember someone kissed me. Now, I couldn't tell on the kissing part. Was it just gross the way they kissed? Or is it reminded me something from my past? You know, like, it, sometimes you have to help distinguish the difference. Was it just because I didn't like it? Or is it because it's a trigger? You know, mm-hmm. And sometimes it's hard to really distinguish between the two. And that's when you have to really, like, dig deep into yourself and find what you know, anything that correlates between the two.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I cut you before. Was there anything you wanted to add before I move to the next one?
Oh, no, it's cool. It's cool. You could go to the next one.
So obviously you said it has affected you a little bit today, in some sense of your sexuality. And I just actually want to stem back onto that before I move on to this one. Do you feel like you're bi or questioning it? And like, you might be into girls, but you're confused because you're past. I just remembered that part.
I think, I mean, it's something I definitely question. Yeah. I definitely wonder if I'm bi for sure. I mean, it's not something I always, like, I do picture myself kind of like settling down with a man and having a family, you know, white picket fence dreams and all that. But yeah, no, it's such a hard question to answer. I definitely think I'm attracted to women, but I am attracted to men.
Right. And if you're into girls, not into girls, that is perfectly okay. Especially thankfully in this society, we're more welcoming to that idea of being open and to being yourself and true to yourself. So for me, like, I hope no one gets offended by this, but I feel like, not saying all, there is women that are bi. I think a lot more people are bi now though, because the pressure of men making, ooh, like, you like a girl too, ooh, like threesomes, this and that. Like, I feel like not every woman's truly bi, and they're more feeling the pressure of this generation making it seem like, you know, poly is better than monogamy, or, you know, it's just, you know, today's generation puts so much pressure, and like, everyone's replaceable. And if you're not going to do what I want you to do, then next, like, and instead of this work, one. Right. Yeah. And it's becoming a very harsh world, and making women having to be a guy, think like a man, do this and do that. Instead of loving their feminine side, they have to play equal because they're getting hurt and feeling damaged and so on. So now they're like, okay, well, if I take control, if I'm bi, at least I'm allowing it, and he won't cheat behind my back, you know? And I feel like many women aren't bi. They're just trying to keep a man. And it's like, honey, that's not going to keep him. If he's okay with stuff like that, it's not keeping him, like, not to yourself at least. And if he could do that in front of you, he definitely can do that behind you. So I mean, not saying there is women that love women and I'm so for it. Just not thinking everyone's really true to themselves, and not even consciously. Like, I think that sometimes subconsciously they think, you know, consciously they think that they like girls, but subconsciously they really don't. So it's so on for you. I think you're still like trying to figure it out, and which is good, because you're like, I'm not sure, you know, and there is no right time to figure that out. You can not figure out if you want to just stick with the men, or you can explore and test those limits and say, hey, I've tested it. Trust me, I've tested it. Not because, you know, this society, more because this girl was really into me and she was like, please let me change your mind. And I was just like, you could try. And she took me out and everything, but when it came down to it and she was at my place and she was pulling down my panties, I was like, oh no, I put them back out. I was like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
She's like, you don't have to do anything to me right now yet. It's okay. And she was gorgeous. I mean, big booty, green eyes, big tits, no waist, like long, long, long hair. She was beautiful, fit. She was in the army. She took me out. She spoiled me. She bought me stuff. Like, she treated me like a princess. And I was just like, you know, if I was, I got a winner. But I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. And when she was in the car, I couldn't get her off the car. She wouldn't stop kissing me. And as far as I can go was kissing. And even then I was like getting, like at first it was cute. And then I was like, all right, I don't feel nothing. Like, this is just me doing it to do it. Like, mm-hmm. You know, it's a waste. So that's when I knew. I was like, no, I tested it. I told her, I'm not bi. She was lesbian. And I was like, I can't do it. I'm sorry. I tried. And if it ain't happened with you, it ain't happened with nobody, because you were perfect. You know, she's like,
at least you tried, you know?
Yeah.
I haven't even gotten that far. I think the most I did was like Facebook dating. That's
okay.
It.
Okay.
But I didn't even like meet anyone from there.
You know, I think I did it luckily when I was younger, where I was more open-minded. I'm so strict in my mind right now that I feel like if I was to try at this age, just because of how I am mentally right now, I'm very closed off with men in general. So I expect how I am going to be with women. So I'm so I'm thankfully I tried it when I was younger. But I definitely say explore it, try it, go on a date, see, maybe have some wine, open your mind a little bit, you know, because you never know. Maybe you are afraid to test it from your past, you know, because of what happened, and it might trigger you. But at the same time, you have to, you will not know until you try it.
Exactly.
You know, and then definitely don't do it for no man, though. I will definitely advise that.
Oh no, hell no.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-mm. And yeah, just do it whatever makes you comfortable. But let me move to the next question. Before I get off more topic. If you saw this person in your life again, how would that make you feel?
You know, it's something I've actually wondered myself. I have seen her on social media. We were Facebook friends for a while, and then I don't know what happened, if she deleted her profile or what. But, you know, I didn't even like ask her. We didn't even interact or talk to each other at all while we were Facebook friends. And part of me wonders if she just like knows like what she did was messed up. You know, I'm not sure if I would really confront her. I know emotionally and mentally she's not really doing the best right now. And you know, God just has its way of, I guess, not, I don't want to say that's her karma, but in some ways, like the fact that she isn't doing well right now just kind of shows me that she wasn't well herself.
I get that. So you did decide though to add her as a Facebook friend, right?
Yeah, I did.
Is it some part of you that kind of wanted to talk about it? What made you do that, or make her reach out to see if she would reach out about it?
Like, I think what I made you accept to it? See if she would reach out.
Mm-hmm.
But she never did.
I get you. I definitely understand that. There's certain people in my life that abused me. I would be like, are you ever going to apologize? You know?
Yeah.
It's just, why not? Why not apologize for something that you did and I didn't? It's, you know, it makes no sense, but they're denying it to themselves sometimes. And exactly. They can't believe mm-hmm. what they did, and they want to run from the truth, but the truth will come back and bite you if you don't own it. Like, you for know, sure. And to me, I think an apology goes so far, but at the same time, it is what it is. And, you know, we can't force anyone to do anything. And we know, well, they say to me, I'm very iffy on karma, because sometimes I think some people are just very lucky and karma does not bite them. It's like Satan in the flesh, you know, like, it's just what could be karma if they're already the devil? Like, I don't know. So,
wow. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, they might think whatever bad comes their way is a tickle, and then never, yeah. And maybe they might think like, oh, that happened, like, poor me. They're not gonna be like, oh, cause I did this to this person. So I don't know if I believe in karma so much, because a lot of bad happens to good people and a lot of good happens to bad people, which is insane, which makes me sometimes think we're in hell, but whatever. But I do hope, you know, the person can come above that, who are abused, come above from all of it at least. And, you know I have, and it took me a while, you know, for my last situation to come about, and I had to do it on my own, which was a hard one. The other times, and I think, like I said, the last one was more just because I let this person in my life and I thought it was a forever thing. And when I realized this person could do such things like that, and I had to remove the person, even though my feelings weren't gone, I had to like make them go away, because I knew I deserved better, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they weren't going to change. So it's like, I can't accept this kind of treatment. And in the other past, I didn't allow it. So if I saw this person, these, you know, these people, I would hope for an apology, but at the same time, I'm not expecting an apology. And I don't wish any harm. I wish they would just get help. You know what I mean? Like, I just wish they would seek, you know, something to make sure this doesn't reoccur to someone else, you know, because they obviously have something going on with them to make them do what they're doing, whether it's a mental illness, whether it's anger. I know it's all actually stems to like a mental illness, but of some sort. Mm-hmm. You know, because there was this like this person I knew who was a molester, on my biologic mother's side, who was in jail for the rest of his life. And I felt more sad for him, more because he wanted to stop. He really wanted to stop hurting little boys, but he couldn't. And he just like, I have a problem. And he wanted to stay in prison because he knew he had no control. And for something like that, I think someone needs therapy. I think someone needs to really say, hey, I know I want to stop. I know it's wrong, but I don't know how to, you know? And it's not something, it's like an itch, and they couldn't control that itch. Like, you know, it's like a drug addict or something.
Yeah. So, or a serial killer.
Yeah. They have an itch, and you know, like the whole, what was that one on Netflix? How do you say his name? Dahmer?
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah. So in a sense, he wanted to not be that way, but he was. He mm-hmm. like the one, he even hurt the person he was in love with. He didn't want to, but he did. And he couldn't control that motherfucking itch. So yeah, and I get that. There's like my itch for me shopping when I'm upset. It's really hard.
Oh my god, I know that. When I'm depressed, the first thing I do is just like go and go shopping or go to the mall.
Right. I'm just like, but this might make me feel better.
It does. It does make me feel like a day.
Right. Exactly. Either way,
my credit card statement, I'm like, shouldn't have done that.
Right. This is why you're broke, Jasia. You're mad every day. Don't you know? You have some anger issues.
Oh my god.
And I'm like, yeah, that's part of it. But yeah, I guess we all just need to find a healthy outlet to, like, you know, make sure that we feel better. Shopping's healthy if you got, if you're rich, you know.
Only.
Right. All right. So the next, and I think final question I will do, because I don't want to keep you, is basically, what advice would you give to someone like yourself, or something that you wish you would have done, or that you have learned from your time? Just something that you, maybe an outlet, a resource, or something that you would like to share, that for someone like yourself who went through that.
I would definitely say to speak up and not hold it in. The more you hold it in, especially if you notice it's something that's bothering you and you're not saying anything, the worse, you know, it's gonna, the worse your mind is gonna get, you know?
Right.
Definitely talking and sharing things with people that you trust is huge, or getting therapy is huge. I've been in therapy since I was 16, and, you know, it's, I think it's a huge reason why I can even sit here and have this conversation now. You know, if I was never able to, you know, speak up and, you know, get help, then it would be hard to even talk about these things.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree. I think speaking up definitely needs to be done, because if not, the abuse continues, and mm-hmm. we don't want that, you know. But as a child, it's really hard, because, like, even like me, when you're so tiny, and, you know, even with yourself, you're scared, what could this person do to you if I told, you know? That's what your first instinct is, like, oh no, if I told someone, they might hurt me, you know, and what could, my mom might be too late to save me, but then it's over. So in that aspect, it's a real tough spot. I would say find a safe place to tell someone and make sure that they take it seriously, and yeah. say, do not put me in that room, in the same room as that person, until it's taken care of. And not even, just leave me out. Like, don't believe mm-hmm. me, believe me, but keep me away from this person, please. Mm-hmm. You know, because being called a liar happens to a lot of people. And don't get taken seriously, or they don't have evidence, or whatever. Just be like, okay, you don't have to believe me, but you don't have to do anything besides leave me from a different room. If, you know, telling a friend might not help at that age, my dog, of course. So you have to, like, tell an adult authority. If your parent doesn't want to listen, if there's a school, tell a teacher, or even look online for a resource, or even 911 at that point. Like, someone needs to hear you, and hopefully mm-hmm. a child can do that. And I advise parents to definitely follow your instincts and always check your kids.
Yes. Yeah. And monitor them.
Right. Always monitor. Never say, I don't want to be part of that drama, or I'm not so sure, I don't want to look crazy. Be crazy, because your child's number one, exactly. over your husband, over everything. Their safety, you know, they cannot defend themselves.
A lot of people, a lot of children, well, a lot of people in general that get abused, it's from people that they know.
Right.
People that are supposed to be trusted, you know? So it can be anyone. It can be people that are right under your nose and you don't even realize it.
Right. And the sad thing is, we also have to come to terms that people might not want to help, and people might not even want to apologize for doing what they did. They might never see anything wrong within their behavior, might try to minimize it, might try to, you know, lie to themselves to make you sound crazy. And you're going to have to, one, provide evidence as much as you can to defend your statement, if you can. And if not, just stay firm. Like, you know, don't let them break you down and make you feel like you should not say anything and have a voice, because your life matters. Everyone's life matters. Even the abuser's life matters. It's just, they need help, you know? Yeah. So as much people might not agree to, oh no, they need to go to jail and for life and die and this and that, I'm not for that. I'm just for, and that's just a, you know, an opinion. But I just,
I'm a little bit for that. Kind of depends on the situation. I know some, like, I know some, you might not agree with that. Some other people might not agree with that, but you know, there are certain people that, especially the ones that just have no remorse or regret or, you know, enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's right at all.
I think for those who enjoy it, like I said, I still do think they need help in seeing, figure out what can be done to see how we can correct the issue where they're not harming people, where they do see something wrong. I don't think the first result should be let's kill them back, you know, and just like minimize that issue. If it exhausts all the issues and they still are not being, then okay, then we can say that we tried these other things and they're not working and then they are who they are. But I don't think we should just quit on the person. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it shouldn't be the first option. Right. You know, I definitely don't agree with that. You know, it definitely shouldn't be the first option, but it should be along the lines in terms of like how you said, like if nothing is working and nothing is getting them better, or they just don't want the help.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I know some people like, no, but like, oh, if they killed that person through like sexual abuse and, you know, an eye for an eye, and that's something I'm going to say for anyone that might comment on or feel away from this. Okay. Then I'm not going to state how I feel about it. Cause I am actually indifferent. I don't know how I feel about that. An eye for an eye. All I can say is if you come for me, I guess in a sense, I'm coming for you, you know, but I don't know. I'm also very more, you know, have more sympathy for other people. So like, then I don't know. It's iffy. I'm like,
situations,
I have a double standard on it. You know? Huh?
Every situation's different.
Right. It is situational. But either way, like I do try to hope that everyone has a second chance, and even for those who abused me, which, you know, sometimes when you have anger from that, it's hard to say, yeah, I want the best for them. I do, and I don't. You know, there's like a little side will still have you feeling like a little F you in there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But for the most part, I want to say wish them the best. I hope they overcome the things that made them do what they did and never do it again. But I do regret for a few times. There was this, I didn't press charges on a few people that have done stuff. And I found out one of the times it happened again to another female. And I felt bad because it was, I don't know. I feel bad statistics wise. I was like, oh, I don't want another Black person in jail. They have such a bad, it's a bad rep, and you know, I don't want that. And that actually happened a few times in my life, where I was like, I don't want that, because that just gives more people a reason to be racist or this or that. And I don't be helping the statistics in any shape or form. You know what I mean? Because just because they did that doesn't mean the next person will, the next Black person will. Like, no, that's not true at all. And so me trying to be the good person that I am, I'm like, let's not ruin it for them. They probably will have a hard life, they say, supposedly. And I don't want that. You know, I don't want to help make someone's life harder. And I don't know, instead of thinking of myself and my justice, I'm more worried about others. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I worded that correctly, but either way, I definitely get it. So like I said, advice, definitely tell people, definitely don't expect a sorry. And just basically, you know, try to work on yourself to move past it if you still have those feelings, you know, hovering over you and making you feel, you know, any triggers to, you know, hurt the next person or hurt yourself, you know, in any shape or form. Yeah. So we don't want that affecting us. I personally don't think it's affecting me anymore. I think my last one, I definitely think I've overcome it recently. I'm still having a little FUs in me, but there's no more nightmares, which is good. And the past, I never had a feeling in it. So I think that's good. And I think for you, I think you just definitely need to figure out that sexuality and get someone, yeah, go on a date.
Definitely gonna try.
Yes, you should. At least then you'll know. You know, yeah. Well, that's not true. Because, well, I think you will, but maybe not. Because you have to really say, maybe I just don't like her. But maybe I like someone else. So go with someone that you think is really hot. Then you'll know. If they're really yes. hot,
then you're super like, attracted oh. to, yes.
Yeah. Then you're like, all right, then I'm really not good. So, yeah, I definitely get that. So I want to thank you for your time and sharing. I know that can be difficult. A lot of people, you know, feel that they can't share certain things, but we only share what we want to. And you shared everything that you felt comfortable with, which I'm so happy. I know that could be a little difficult for you and trigger something in you sometimes with your emotions. And I'm glad you stood strong. And hopefully this helped the next person feel strong as well, and share their story and overcome and hopefully at least know not to stay quiet about, you know, their abuse and make sure, even though a little hypocrite of me for not, you know, putting them into like the justice system, hypocritical, but more, not because I didn't want to share, it's more because I wanted them to get help.
Huh? Yeah, I didn't do it either.
But see, but it wasn't for me, like I didn't want to not have like justice in a sense, I just wanted them to get therapy. And what mm-hmm. That was me. Like, I want them to get help, but I can't force them to get help. And I'm like, but if I put them in jail, like they will just, like, you know, if I, you know, press charges, they'll just go to jail. They won't really get help. That doesn't help anyone. So it's just like, that's not my goal. So my goal is just to make the world a better place, you know, that's the goal. But yeah, so thank you for that. Hopefully it helps. And you know, like I said, our differences, we might view things differently, but doesn't take it away from either one of us, our stories or our beliefs. So mm-hmm. thanks, Boo.
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. And thanks for letting me share.
Of course. And I'm just going to stop this.